I don't know what I'm going to preach this morning because I didn't give Jeremy that verse to preach from. I gave him the wrong reference, so I'm going to give you the right reference. I have no idea what I'm going to say from that passage of Scripture. I was always taught that you'd be ready to preach, pray, or die, but I'm just going to change the passage if that's okay with y'all. If you have your Bible, Matthew 12, okay? Matthew 12. I'd rather than just trying to wing it, I thought I'd just try to use my notes today. Matthew 12, verse number 35. When Jeremy started reading that passage, I had a horror stricken in my heart. I said, I got the wrong Bible or something. I don't know what happened. The wrong book. And then it dawned on me. I gave him Luke, and it's really Matthew. So I'm sure none of y'all have ever done anything like that, especially not in front of hundreds of people, so I just ask your forgiveness. And Matthew 12, and verse number 35, a good man, out of good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, bringeth forth evil things. And at this point in time, if the verse stopped right there, you might think he's talking about deeds and all kinds of good deeds that he would be doing or bad deeds that he'd be doing. But then the next verse tells us exactly what he's speaking about. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Verse 37, for by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Words have an eternal effect. Now, we don't value our words as much as we ought. The Philadelphia 76ers, a basketball team worth $2 billion, had a general manager, and his wife went on the internet and started criticizing certain people underneath a phony name, and it got found out, and he lost his job just because of a few words on the internet. Millions of dollars he was paid every year. And it changed the course of the franchise, perhaps, because his wife was upset with someone on the staff and decided to get at them through words. Do you understand today that words have a powerful effect? The Bible says that words come from a heart. Good words, evil words. Everybody in this room uses words. The researchers tell us that women use about 25,000 words a day. Men use about 12,000 words a day. And so what that means is that the women have twice as much responsibility as the guys do. No, it doesn't really. It just means that all of us use words every day, and we have to be very careful the words that we use. I want to draw your attention to the kinds of words that are used in Scripture. Give you some examples so that everybody in this room realizes that every time you open your mouth, it's going to be an eternal thing. I don't think we realize that. We say things flippantly. I don't think we understand it goes on forever. Verse 36, I say unto you that every idle word, every word that's mentioned, idle word just has to be a word that has no value to it. Now, if the words that have no value to it are there forever, that every idle word that men shall speak, they should give account thereof. So if God keeps track of all the useless words, what does he do with all the beneficial words? So everybody in this room, we always use words. There are words of salvation. Words can get you to heaven. A lot of people say, well, yeah, but you know, you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to be baptized and you got to do good deeds and you got to come to church and you got to read your Bible and you got to give money and you got to do all these various things and you got to partake of the Lord's Supper. And all those things are nice things, but they don't get you to heaven. If from your heart you realize that you're a sinner, you've done something that God told you not to do. Now, everybody in this room is a sinner. The Bible says, for all have sinned. And so there's no one in this room that is absent of sin. So you have to decide what you're going to do with your sin. Because everything's written down in heaven. Every word, bring every thought captive the obedience of Christ. So the Lord Jesus has a list of all of our thoughts. All of our words are written down. The recording angels are busy. Everything you've thought and done is written in heaven. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, the sinners are all going to give an account of all of it. The books are opened. So everybody in this room, you're going to give an account for the words that you use today. They will come back again. Now, if you choose the words today of salvation, that will make an eternal difference in where you go, heaven or hell. Do you know the Bible says that we're all sinners and that Jesus died for our sin? Everybody I've ever asked that knows of the Lord Jesus Christ, why did Jesus die? They all say, for us. Everybody says, he died for sinners. Everybody knows that. It's amazing. They just know that Jesus supposedly died for sinners, died for us, died for mankind. That's why he died. But nobody takes his payment on the cross and it gets it applied to their debt of sin that they owe God in heaven. Only Christians have done that. Now, if I could take you to Luke chapter 18, if you have your Bible, I'd like for you to turn there with me. Luke chapter 18, if you would. And I want you to notice Luke chapter 18. I want you to see the words of a righteous man, a religious man, and the words of a sinner. Verse number 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So in other words, he said, I'm going to tell you, give you a little example of someone that trusts themselves to get to heaven. And in their righteousness, in their good deeds, they're trusting their Sunday school attendance to get them to heaven. They're trusting their baptism to get to heaven. They're trusting their good deeds in coming to church to get them to heaven. Lord, don't you see all the good things I've done for you? They're trusting their times whenever they help the poor out. Notice with me if you would. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee, a religious man, very religious. The other a publican, someone that doesn't know much about religion, just a normal good old guy. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee, words, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are. There's his words. Lord, I'm thankful I'm not like these other people. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this publican. He's at the altar praying. He said, I fast twice in the week. Anybody here, don't raise your hand, but anybody here fast 2 days a week about certain issues that burden your heart? In other words, you're so burdened about certain things that you're looking to the God of heaven and say, Lord, I'm going to fast on Tuesday and Thursday. I'm not going to eat a bite or eat anything because I'm just going to pray those 2 days about the burden that's on my heart. Anybody here have lost people in your family? And we don't pray for them. We don't fast and pray for them. Fasting is the way you get through to God. He says if it's important enough today, Pittman, that he's not going to eat, he's just going to talk to me about it, I'm going to listen. So this Pharisee says, well, I fast twice a week. Probably more religious than anybody in this room. And I give tithes of all that I possess. Now, I know there's a lot of tithers in this room. I don't know who you are. But I just know by the offerings there are a lot of good people in this room. But he was counting those things to get into heaven. Verse number 13, and the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as, not lift so up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what it takes to say eternal words? The Bible says, with a heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with a mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So today, if you're here and you say, I don't know I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. I do a lot of good things. You're going to have to take all those things and throw them away. And you have to come to the Lord, and it's just you and him. Oh, I might be able to take a Bible. One of our counselors might be able to take a Bible and pray with you or lead you up to the point where you pray. But you yourself have got to say words out of your mouth from your heart to the Lord, or you're not going to get to heaven. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to say eternal words. And those words are, Lord Jesus, I know you died for me and I'm a sinner. Would you forgive me? Take your payment on the cross and apply it to my debt of sin. And Jesus says, notice in verse number 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. You know what justified means? It's a legal term in Scripture for someone declared righteous, declared sinless. It's what Jesus does to everybody in this room that has put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It happens at a moment in time. It would have happened on a Sunday morning when this publican came down to the front and said, Lord, it's me, John Doe. Would you forgive me of my sin? I'm sorry. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. The thief on the cross got saved on that afternoon after the sun went dark and it was 3 hours of darkness. And he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. As he looked to his left or his right, wherever Jesus was, Lord, would you just, he was too ashamed to ask for salvation. But God, he said the words, Lord, remember me. Do you understand God sees the intent of your heart and he hears the words that you say and he says, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There have been many people in Scripture say, the woman at the well, come see the man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? People have been saved at a well. People have been saved at church. But you've got to pause and take the time to say from your heart, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm a sinner. Will you forgive me? You must confess your sin to Jesus Christ or you cannot get to heaven. Now, you can come down here and flippantly say, Lord, I'm sorry. Will you save me and take me to heaven? It won't matter. You'll notice he says in this passage, look at me if you would, in verse number 14, I tell you, this man went to his house justified because it came from his heart. He was genuine. Now, we say a lot of things disingenuous, but you can't get to heaven unless you sincerely talk to the Lord. But it only takes a few words for God to stamp your book paid in full and him to declare you as righteous for the rest of your life. You'll notice Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ will give you the gift of eternal life. It cannot be bought. It cannot be earned. It's a gift, but it's given at the bequest of a sinner's words. Have you prayed and asked Jesus to save you? Oh, Pastor, I do that every day. No, you don't get born again every day. It happens one point in time. When this guy was declared justified, he never had to pray that prayer again. The woman at the well never had to pray the prayer again. It's eternal. They're words of eternal nature. They never have to be repeated. How many times now? Now, this morning, I wanted to share with you the name of our newest member, if I can. I wanted to give to you the name of our newest member, Sunny and Pleasure, the Anyamakis. Their little girl was born, and she weighed 7 pounds, and it was Adajukwa, Ihuma, Chimdima, Anyamaki. Now, she was born at a moment in time. On her birth certificate is a date and a time. What date and time is on your spiritual birthday and your spiritual birth certificate? Everybody's got one. Jesus said in John 1, you must be born again, John 3. And John 1, he said, as many as received him, to him that gave you power to become the sons of God, even to them that begin believe on his name. So Jesus Christ will save you, but it's a point in time. It's called the second birth. Jesus said it. You must be born again. But it comes as a result of your words spoken from your heart. Have you trusted Christ and said eternal words yet? Oh, you may say, oh, Pastor, I don't remember. I was talking with a young couple yesterday in pre-marriage counseling. When were you saved? It was either 5 or 6. You may not remember when it was or how old you were, but you remember where it was. And they specifically told me exactly where they had trusted Christ as Savior. Oh, it was at home. Oh, it was with my mom. Oh, it was in the bedroom. It was, and they knew exactly where it was, but they couldn't remember the date and time. God's got that written down. But when you say eternal words, you're declared justified. And everybody in this room has got to do that unless you don't want to go to heaven. You can't put it off. You can say, I'll do it later. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. And Job 22, 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, saith the Lord of hosts. So you have to decide what you want to do with the gift of Jesus Christ. But it's gained by words of repentance. Now, there's words of sin. We all know what those are. Peter, he was following Jesus Christ afar off. And all of a sudden, a young lady came up and said, you were with Jesus. He said, oh, no, I wasn't. Words of lies. And Jesus specifically said, don't lie. Now, he was fearful for his life, so he lied. Another maid came up, and he lied again. And finally, someone else came up and they said, your speech betrays you. You know what his speech did? His speech was clean and good, and everybody else was talking sinful words. So you know what he does? He says, well, I'll use sinful words too. I know them. I just haven't used them in a while because I've been walking with Jesus. But, and then he let out a string of curse words and all kinds of words and foul mouth. And the girl, oh, I guess you aren't amongst him. Sinful words. Everybody in this room that curses, you're using sinful words that you'll face again one day. Well, Pastor, everybody gets upset and loses their temper and says a curse word. No, they don't. I never heard my dad one time curse. I never heard my brother one time curse. No one's ever heard me curse. Anybody ever heard me curse? Because I don't use those words. I know them. As a plumber, you can't help but hear them over and over and over again. But I chose a long time ago, Lord, protect me from those sinful words. Curse words are terrible. They destroy your testimony that quick. There's been many a husband that I've talked with, and he said, my wife cussed me out. I have no respect for her. Or vice versa. You'll have no respect from your children if you use curse words. The only thing you can do is make it right. Everybody in this room, you owe the Lord God of heaven an apology if you have received the gift of eternal life and you still use the words of the world that are sinful words. Their curse words are sinful words. Peter can tell you that. When he caught the eye of the Lord and the Lord looked at him bound, it broke Peter's heart. And there's never another record that he ever used them again. It changed his life. But he was ashamed. Are you ashamed of your sinful words? Well, there's words of murmur, complaining. If you have your Bible, turn to Deuteronomy 1. I want you to see this. Deuteronomy 1. Notice with me, if you would, just looking at words this morning. Words make an eternal difference. We're looking at sinful words. Look at Deuteronomy 1. 26. Notwithstanding, now you notice in verse 25, they took of the fruit, this is Deuteronomy 1, 25, they took of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us and brought us word again and said, it is a good land which the Lord our God hath given, doth give us. So they brought, some of them brought, all of them brought a great testimony of what the land was like. Verse 26. Notwithstanding, you would not go up, but rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God, and ye murmured in your tents. So So you know what? You can use murmuring words in your house. Nobody will ever hear them but God. God hears every one of them. It's an idle word. A curse word is an idle word. It has no eternal value. Murmuring has no eternal value. Well, I just can't believe I got that old car. I wish I had a different car. I wish I had a different house. I can't believe I wish I had a different husband. I wish I had a different wife. I wish I had different parents. Murmuring, complaining, talking about people. Notice what he says, because the Lord hath hated us. And we sort of blame it on the Lord. The Lord, look at my circumstances. They're not right. They're not fair. I hate my health. I wish that was like so-and-so. So they murmured, because the Lord hath hated us. He hath brought us forth out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Notice verse 28. Whither shall we go? Our brethren have discouraged our heart. Sinful words discourage people. They hurt people. You'll notice that the Lord Jesus didn't miss a word. In verse number 36, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. He didn't murmur. Now, folks, today you and I have to understand that God hears the words that we say in our tents. He hears the words that we say in our bedroom. You cannot get away with idle words. They're all written down. Now, if you're a Christian, you've been justified. Those words will be washed away when you put the book of your life from the day you got saved into the fiery furnace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, God has a fire that he tries all of our life. So the day we get saved, from that day forth, everything is written down. Good, bad, indifferent, it's all written down. And everything done for Christ is put into, everything done, period, is put into the fire, and only what's left is what you did for Christ's sake. So there's going to be a lot of empty pages in our life if we use sinful words, because they've been paid for at the cross. But they're idle, so there's no heavenly benefit. And we use, of our 12 to 25,000 words, we use them more than good words. We murmur. We complain. Not only that, look if you would in verse 34. This is Deuteronomy 1:34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth. You know what the Lord said? I heard every word you said. Do you understand today that every word that you say, I can't believe my parents won't let me do what I want to do. God heard it. I can't believe that teacher. Do you know what the teacher did? God heard it. I see in you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. You know the account you'll give? If you're a Christian, blank pages. You wasted the good time God gave you to be a blessing and turned it into a curse. You wasted God's time. You wasted the words you could have chosen. Everybody's got a list of words that we can choose. Which list are you going to choose from? Spiritual words or sinful words? Everybody in this room chooses. Every day of our life. You get up in the morning and you say, hey, honey, how are you doing? I don't feel too good. This is a miserable day. I'm going to go back to bed. Or somebody gets up and they're in a miserable mood and you say, you need to go back to bed and get up on the other side of it. You get up on the wrong side of the bed. How many of you didn't know there's no right or wrong side of the bed? How many knew that? Did you know that? It's attitude. It's from the heart. And folks, all I'm telling you is we all have to battle this. But if you're unsaved today, if you never have prayed those eternal words of, Lord, forgive me for all eternity, every word's written down, and you'll face every one of them at the great white throne judgment with no defender, no advocate. I'm not telling you what Dave Pittman believes. It's in the book very clearly. Revelation 20, verse 12, 10 through 15, I saw a great white throne, him that sat upon it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And every man was judged out of those things which were written in the books, every man according to his works. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, save people that prayed that one eternal prayer, were cast into the lake of fire. God loves you. He loves everybody in this room. There's nobody in this room that is so dastardly wicked that God doesn't love you. Nobody. And he wants to save you. But you have to let him. You have to call upon his name in order to be saved. And once you get saved, the recording angel continues to write. Are you wasting your time? Are you saying idle words? Idle words. Another idle word is one of sarcasm. I didn't even have to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians 6, Michael watched David out in the street, and he's rejoicing. They're bringing the Ark of God, which was the presence of God, into Jerusalem, and he's rejoicing and excited about it. And he didn't look real kingly. You know what? A king usually is very reserved and walks along with his robe and all of his entourage. And David is jumping up in the air, and he's excited about the Lord. He said, "We're bringing the Lord home to Jerusalem. I'm so excited. The presence of the Lord is going to be with us." And she despised him in his heart. And when he came in, she said, "Well, how glorious was the king today?" She mocked him. Anybody ever use sarcastic words to make fun of somebody? They're idle words. You know, he got so angry with her that he used words the wrong way also. "Well, who chose my God chose me over your dad?" How do you like that? He was the king and her dad was dead. Hurtful words. Sarcastic words. Folks, today, be careful of sarcasm. It will ruin you. You know the word sarcasm comes from the word sarx in the Greek text, and sarx is the word fleshly. So when you use sarcastic words, I wish I had a car like that. Yeah, you know. And you look over to your car and you're looking at somebody driving a nice car. Yeah, well, I wish I had money like you. And you're sort of being sarcastic, trying to put them down. And you begin to say things. Or we get our mates and we look at them and say, "Well, that's a good meal tonight. Thanks." We're saying it sarcastically. To be hurtful. Sarcastic words are words of idleness. Be careful. No reward for idle words. Sarcastic words hurt. Let me ask you a question. I want you to follow with me. How many of you can remember someone saying something sarcastic to you and you still remember it, and it was longer than 10 years ago? Now, you've forgiven it, but it's still kind of stuck in your mind. Would you raise your hand? Let me see it. Raise it up. Let me see it. Look here. Because they hurt. We don't hold it against somebody. I can remember a statement that my pulpit speech teacher said to me in college. I can remember almost verbatim today. And it was said 45, 6 years ago. I can remember something. One of my professors, I was taking Galatians and the book of Galatians, and I had to write a commentary about it verse by verse. Every verse in the book of Galatians, 6 chapters, every word, and it was a thick book. And I remember getting my paper back, and I got a B on it. And I said, "How'd I get a B on it?" I went through every verse and every word. I mean, I tried my best on that thing. And he said this. He says, "Well, I got up in front of my stairs," and he said, "If you got an A," he said, "I threw the papers down. The heaviest ones went the farthest down. That's where you got your grades." I never forgot that. It wasn't the right thing to say. And by the way, he is no longer in professorship. He's no longer allowed to be. You see, our sins will always catch up with us. I remember things. I'm not mad at him. I feel for him. I really did. I was upset at the time because I'd done so much work. And so sarcasm, you know, making fun of things, and you have to be very careful. It may be funny, but it may put a hole in somebody's heart that almost never goes away. And it takes a truly spiritual person to be able to put it aside and say, I'm going to forgive that and walk on. Now I want you to notice not only that, but lying words. Words of deceit. Words that you try to mislead people. Everybody in this room has used a lying word. The question is, are we still doing it? Where you say, you get home and your wife says, hey, oh, you're 15 minutes late. Where you been? I got supper ready for you. Oh, well, you know, traffic. And in reality, we stopped off and got something we wanted to get, and we just didn't want her to know that. Or we stopped off and did something, and so we just lie a little bit. The truth is, you know, I'm just a little bit late, but, you know, just traffic. And it may have been heavy traffic, but we don't tell the truth. You ever heard of a white lie? How many have heard of a white lie? You know what it is? It's really not white, it's black. It's just our way of saying things that we want to get by with. The only problem is, remember in Deuteronomy 1:34, God heard their words. God hears every lying word you and I say. He hears them all. Now, then there are words that are spiritual words. There are words that we say that are graceful words. If you have your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 4. I want you to see this. Colossians chapter 4. I want you to notice, all of us in this room have a choice. Look at Colossians 4, verse number 5. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Now, how can you redeem the time? How can you walk in wisdom toward people that are outside? People that are outside our church. How can you walk in wisdom so that people look at you and want the Lord Jesus? How can we do that? Notice he says, let your speech be always with grace. Always say things about people and to people that are a little bit gracious, a little bit better than they deserve. Be good to people. Notice what he says. Season with salt. Salt is a preservative. Think before you speak. Remember, it's going to be written down. You're going to see it again. Remember, the Lord's going to hear it. You get upset with your mate, better be careful what you say, because God's going to hear it. If you say it in your tent, in your house, you go in your bedroom and you slam the door and you let go in the bedroom, God hears it. If you think it and don't even utter it, God hears it and sees it. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words shalt thou be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Notice, if you would, in verse number 6, he says, that ye may know how you ought to answer every man. So you build into your mindset, I'm going to say things nice to people, I'm going to be kind to people, I'm going to say the right things to people the best I can, so they can always be good to people. That's what I want to do. I always want to be good to people. That's the rule of law. I always want to be good to people and say things better to the people than they deserve, because I want people to do that for me. I want God to be good to me. I want grace. Now, then I'm going to be careful of the words that I could say, but I'm not going to say those words because those words hurt. Sarcastic words hurt. Lying words hurt. Murmuring words hurt. There is no way in which men can do good to others with so little expense and little trouble as by kindness in words. We should think that kind words would be very common. They are so cheap. Everybody has them. But there are many persons who have a large assortment of other language except for kindness. They have bitter words. They have witty words. They have learned words in abundance, but their stock of kind words is small. There are persons who draw on their kindness with more reluctance than they do in their pocketbooks. The habit of using kind words will at length conform us to the image of Christ. Today, what kind of words are you using? Are your words spiritual words? Are they kind words? Are they encouraging words? You know, if you have your Bible, turn me, if you would, to Joshua 3:28. I want you to see this verse. Joshua 3:28 in your Old Testament. Joshua, Judges, Joshua 3:28. Excuse me, if you can find that, you're great. Take your Bible and turn to Joshua 1. Notice with me, if you would, Joshua 1, verse number 18. Whatsoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. In other words, Joshua, I want you to be strong and of good courage. Now notice with me, if you would, back over in verse 6 of the same chapter. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. God is trying to encourage Joshua. Joshua, be strong. Joshua, you can do it. Be of good courage. Joshua, I'll be with you. And so, folks, today we can say encouraging words. We must say encouraging words to people that are ill. If you go into a hospital room and you're going to try to encourage someone, I'll never forget years ago. I've visited hospitals for 45 years. I would go into a hospital in Chicago when I was there. And I would take all day and go to 6-8 different hospitals all over Chicago. It was miserable driving up in there. And then you go to a hospital room and you try to encourage somebody. And then I remember being in Memphis and go to hospitals. And in Dallas, I had a whole day of hospitals. And I remember walking into a hospital room in Dallas and a lady that was dying. And she actually died just a few days later. I remember walking into the room. I said, I'm going to try to encourage this lady because I know she hasn't got a lot of time. I'm going to try to be a blessing to her. And I walked into the room, and she was laying in bed, and there was a brightness about her. Hi, Pastor Pittman. I thought this lady didn't have long to live. You know, Pastor, I so appreciate you coming by today. You know, the Lord's been so good to me. I appreciate you taking the time to come visit with me. You know, I may see the Lord one of these days soon. And her words, when I left the room, encouraged my heart. And I said, that's the attitude I want to have when I'm close to meeting the Lord. I went in to brighten her room, and she brightened my room. You know what? It doesn't matter your circumstances. It doesn't matter what kind of circumstance you're in. You can brighten the room of people that are around you by your words, by the choice of the word that you use. You can discourage people around you. You can encourage them. You can tell them how to get to heaven with your words. And lastly, there are spiritual words that are encouraging. There are spiritual words that are kind. There are spiritual words that are loving. There are spiritual words. I mean, anybody here ever failed at something? Anybody ever failed at something? Anybody here? Let me see your hand. Have you failed at something? You know, maybe you go to class and I remember being in class one time and trying, but just not getting a concept. And I made a grade so low you could have squared it and I wouldn't have passed. It was just a terrible grade. And I remember somebody came in to me and I was feeling kind of down, and somebody said, "Oh man, look what you made." I just didn't have a good spirit about that. And then there were people, I'd come home and my mom would always say, you can do better next time. You'll do good. We just study a little harder. You can make it. And I knew there was somebody in my corner every day of my life. You know my greatest sadness when my mom went to heaven? I lost one of my greatest supporters. Who are you supporting? Who is it that you're using your choice of words to be a blessing to? You know, there's kind words, encouraging words, loving words, even when we fail. But you know, lastly, there are gospel words. There are words that you can tell people that you can say, I can tell you how to get to heaven. Now, everybody in this room has got those words. If you've been saved, you've got gospel words because you can tell them how you got saved. And they too can follow in your example and pray the prayers of eternal words and get to heaven. But you know what you can do? You can go silent. And everybody you meet has the potential to die and go to hell because you didn't use gospel words. Did you know the Lord Jesus loves you? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? God loves you. He wants you to go to heaven. But we go silent. Not only the words that we speak will we give an account thereof, but to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what we do? With your words, you can change your world. You can be a blessing to people around you. Mom, with your words, you can teach your children how to get to heaven. By your kindness and words, you can show them what a Christian looks like. How many of you were told how to get to heaven by your mother and you listened and your mom told you how to get to heaven and you trusted Christ? Would you raise your hand? Raise it up all over here. Raise it up all over. Look here. Look at all these hands. Thank the Lord for godly mothers. But you know what they have to do? Choose spiritual words. Today, you can use sinful words. You can use words of salvation. You can use words that are spiritual. What will you use today? What would be your choice today? You're going to leave here in a few minutes. You're going to go out the door and you say, man, I don't want anything about that sermon. I don't want to remember anything about it. But you remember one thing. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. So when you go to work tomorrow, watch your words. Let your speech be always with grace. Do you know what our marriages would be like if we just learned and followed Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Today, how's your speech? Is it sinful or is it spiritual? There is a choice. Let's bow our heads forward in prayer today. Very simple message based on a very simple principle that is very scriptural. Your words can make an eternal difference. Are they doing that? Maybe you're here today, and I'm certain there are lots of people in this room today that you probably, if you go back and look at the words you used this week, ought to come to this altar and say, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Would you help me to choose better words? Maybe you're here today and your sinful words weren't words of cursing or words of sarcasm or words of lying, but you were just silent. You say, Pastor, I need to say more for Christ. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to stand to sing. And if you're here today and you say, I don't know, I'm going to heaven, would you come to me? Maybe you're here today and you'd like to be a part of our church. I encourage you to come to me. We'd love to have you. If you know Christ as Savior, you've been baptized, we'd love to have you. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've never been baptized. Why don't you come? We'll help you take care of that. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, there have been people watching me and I haven't said the right things and I owe some apologies. If you're here today and the Lord's working on your heart, you don't know what you're going to do about it, but the Lord's working on your heart. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. Just raise it up quickly, all over. The Lord's working on my heart, Pastor, about my words. Raise them up. Raise them up. That's good. Good. Yes. Yes. All over. My words. You know, there's no solution if we don't realize what we've done wrong. But there is a God in heaven. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts today. Help us to leave here with a clean heart. Lord, I pray, I know our words come from my heart, and they can be good or bad. Would you help the people here today that have never prayed eternal words, that they'd be saved, words of salvation? Lord, help them to come. Lord, words of sin, I pray that you'd help them to confess it and tell you they're sorry. And then, Lord, words of strength and words of spiritual words, I pray that you'd give us that vocabulary. In your precious name we pray.